Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is live. It is a victory Monday, a reaction Monday. A shout out to Figgy's put a little double duty. Get well soon, Tyler Milner, as he is under the weather. Hopefully he is back with us tomorrow. But Clint, there's a lot for us to get to. As we said, the coach's show behind us, D'Amico Ryans, if you missed it, he was on as he spoke to the media earlier today. I know I was listening when In the Loop had that going live. If you missed that, you might want to catch that again over there in the 12 o'clock hour or in the 11 o'clock hour. But you will get to hear from him after we get done coming up next after us, the coaches show with D'Amico Ryans. But, Clint, there's a lot to get to here. But that was an ass-kicking that they put on the Ravens. I'm a bit surprised by how that game went. Not surprised that the Texans won, but surprised that they won so emphatically and in a dominant fashion. But when you look at this, Clint, the overall view of this, because, I mean, we will break down parts of it, Clint, but, I mean, this wasn't no tight one. This wasn't no tight one that you got to really get down and say, oh, boy, they're in the third quarter.
Yeah,
they really,
yeah, yeah.
No, this was just an ass kicking from start to finish. Just overall, your thoughts on what you watch yesterday.
Ronnie, it's easy for me, man. I think the Texans were in a spot. You start 0-3, you can't sugarcoat it, man. You're fragile. You're at a fork in the road. Your organization is really dealing with adversity and being tried, if you will. And so you'd go one of two directions, Ron. And I think the way that we can define those directions is, are you closer to the top third of the league, or are you closer to the bottom third of the league?
Yep.
Are you closer to the Titans in this division, or are you closer to the Colts and the Jags in this division? Like, where do you stand? And I think it's very real that as a team, the Houston Texans, what they've shown yesterday and what they've shown really over the last 2 weeks, the last eight quarters of football, is that as an organization, as a team, they're closer to the top than they are the bottom, number one. Yeah. I think they needed that in a major, major way.
Seemed like you needed that.
I definitely needed it. The fan base needed it. Every fan I've ever talked to, they needed it. There's no doubt about it, right? But you've proven that you're in the top half more so than the bottom half. And the rest of the schedule is going to play out in a way of where you're going to have opportunities sooner rather than later to prove that you belong in the top third. Maybe you belong in the top 10. And you can right this ship moving forward. That opportunity presents itself. You've earned that right getting your record to 2-3. But this was a Texans get-right game, which was needed in a major, major way. If we drill down to specific issues with this football team, right on the offensive side of the football, I think we thought and we assumed and we were heard, you know, we had heard throughout training camp that they were watching this old Brady film and this was going to be that style of offense more so than the Rams style of offense. We heard C.J. Stroud talk about death by a thousand cuts style of offense, right? I think the question was, can they commit to it? Can they have success with it? Can Nick Caley be creative within it? Do they have weapons other than Nico Collins? Can they commit to Dalton Schultz early? Can C.J. Stroud protect himself and the offensive line by committing to this death by a thousand cuts identity on offense? And they have. I know the first part of the Tennessee Titans game didn't go the way you wanted to from a box score, from a scoreboard. But there's eight quarters worth of this death by a thousand cuts, and it's resulted in 70 damn points. in the last 2 weeks. Any way you slice it, and you can argue that CJ left a couple of touchdowns on the field earlier in that Tennessee game, so it should have been more. I think what they've done was get right and get quality, valuable reps within the identity of who they need to be and want to be offensively. Ron, they scored on their first 8 possessions, 5 touchdowns, 3 field goals. Their quarterback had an 85% completion. 8 different Texans pass catchers caught footballs. 10 were targeted. I mean, this is exactly, by the way, very balanced. They ran the football well also. This is another 4 quarters of exactly who they want to be and what they want to be on the offensive side of the football. And that, given where the Texans' offense was, is extremely, extremely valuable and should be, you know, something that we see some real growth because of moving forward.
Yeah, I see, which is, I think, fair. I see people who have talked about the opponents and the Titans, how bad the Titans are and how bad, I mean, I don't even know if skeleton crew is what you would call it with the Ravens. I mean, they had even more guys missing than I thought they would have. But I don't care. I mean, as C.J. Gardner-Johnson would say, that was belts to asses. Sorry, guys. But, yeah, as he would say, that was belts to asses. And they're in the NFL, and they still got some dudes over there. When Tommy Townsend ain't got to get off the bench to do his job till there's about 7 minutes left, and it's really just because you're like, hey, man, we throwing Davis in there, man. We're not even really trying. We just trying to get the hell up on out of here. Like, that's when you throw that out there. I don't care who you facing, right? Like, listen, we will – yes, there is a fair thing to talk about, like, who they've played. But they didn't look functional at times. They didn't look like, from an offensive perspective, they didn't look like they were ever going to get it together. And yesterday, Clint, I mean, hell, they did whatever the hell they wanted. And I think the point that you made there was, and they didn't just make it easy. They ran their offense and did things that they want to be, they want to do.
Yeah.
And they had success on it. I mean, I don't care who you're playing. You have got to feel at least that the offense is moving in the right direction. We'll see what they do against other teams. But you at least have to feel like they're moving in the right. They put a 44 on somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, just waxed
them. And did it and took the foot off the gas in the fourth quarter. Here's the deal, Ron. This was a game to me, and we've seen teams do it in the past, not necessarily the Texans, but just teams in general, right? You start 0-3. You beat a lowly, Tennessee team that looks like they're on the way to firing their head coach. And then you've got an opponent that is just beat to hell. You get a quarter into the game and you realize, hey, man, this team can't keep up with us. We can do whatever we want, whenever we want, and we can score some points and we can have us a good day and we can get on a plane and with a win and enjoy our plane trip home and enjoy our bye week. And at that point in time, you got a choice. Do you stay dialed in and do you commit to what it is you're trying to build offensively? Or do you go back to this whole, all right, we're going to stretch the field, we're going to take a bunch of risk, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, just because the opponent ain't worth the damn. I always say this. There's nothing worse to me than watching a team go get 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 wins, beat up on a bunch of bad teams, doing stuff that you know is never going to work in the playoffs. You know it's never going to work versus playoff caliber defenses. You know you don't have a puncher's chance of doing those things when the opponent is a well-coached, well-oiled machine or one of the better defenses in the league. You watch it and you're going, ain't no way it's going to work, right? The Texans had an opportunity Sunday. They could have done that. They could have done things. They could have hard play action. CJ could have sat back there, patted the football, and thrown the damn thing down the field. I mean, hell, look how wide open Christian Kirk was on that basic cross route they do.
What'd you say? Last week, you didn't think he could run away from anybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's just they could have done, Ron, they could have done so many different things that were not within the identity and that was not conducive to, you know, creating the identity and getting good work within their system, and they didn't do it, man. The value in going, hey, This is like a practice, man. I need you to see CJ. I need you to be wholeheartedly committed, man. This is what we're going. I know the score is out of whack. I know you want to have fun. I know you want to stretch the field. I know there's opportunities, but man, I need you to stay within this offense and get it done. And they did that for 4 quarters, 3 quarters. The fourth quarter was it was all over.
Nick Cayley turn you on?
Yes, Yeah, Nick Caley.
I will say Nick could have had a blindfold and just started picking plays. But still, I saw what it felt like to me, and you know it better than I do. I saw it felt like he wasn't just – it looked like he had a plan with his play calling. It looked like there was
setting
some
stuff up. Yeah.
It looked like there was a plan with what he was trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, again, the rant I just went on is really a Nick Caley rant. Nick Caley could have got real excited and wanted his quarterback to throw for 400 yards and 6 touchdowns instead of doing what they did, and because they could have done more, right? But you look at the job that Nick Caley did, he was absolutely tremendous. The list that I have of Nick Caley pats on the ass is lengthy, y'all. The first drive scored, the script that we always talk about, was tremendous, right? Not only did you score points, not only was the play calling balanced and getting everybody involved, but you took the air out, the wind, if you will, out of the sails of a Baltimore crowd that Sunday, if they were going to compete, the crowd was going to have to be a factor given how many guys were out, right? So you just look at that script, you look at that first drive, absolute money. Let's look big picture, and we're going to talk about this later in the show. Nico Collins usage. Dalton Schultz, usage. Let's talk about a new player, British Brooks, the usage of him from the fullback perspective in critical moments in short yardage situations. Let's talk about how all of a sudden the outside run game, the outside zone, not the toss zone, but the outside zone was a big part of what they were doing in the run game. The red zone play calling, there were multiple. Hell, a Harrison Bryant throwing the ocean touchdown got called back, and he came back and hit a touchdown to Nico Collins. I mean, the red zone play calling across the board was multiple, and he had several throwing the oceans for his quarterback. Let's talk about play action and boot action type stuff. It was effective. Super balanced run pass. Spread the ball around. I mentioned it. 10 different players were targeted. 8 caught balls from CJ or Davis Mills. I mean, this was a game when I think – if this thing takes off, this will be the game where you look back and you go, okay, Nick Caley was in his bag. Nick Caley starting to kind of figure some things out. And not that all this is going to translate to a better opponent, but I do think it's a really good sign.
Yeah, no, it is. And again, we will have a week, 2 weeks. We understand the opponent. And as someone texted in and said, oh, so y'all think this offense is back now. I'm not saying. I'm not saying. I'm just saying you at least look at them and you're like, all right, they're taking a good step. They're taking a step into the right direction. We understand the opponent. Yes, I think it would have been different if Roquan Smith and Marlon Humphrey and Kyle Hamilton and Matt Abike were out there. I think it would have been different. I don't know that I think the Ravens would have just stopped them, right? I don't know they would have put 44 on them. But I do think they went from – there were moments in the Rams, Bucks, and Jags games they just didn't look functional. Like, they just didn't look like – it almost looked like the plays that they had success were luck or given to them in a way. Mistakes made by the defense, like the long touchdown Nico got against the Jags. Now it looked like, all right, they found an ability to have a rhythm. You know, in even throughout that Titans game that really showed in the fourth quarter, it looked like they had a rhythm. So I'm not saying the offense is back. Will I be surprised if they go up to Seattle and struggle some? No. But I will be surprised if they go to Seattle and it looks, you know, like it did at times before. I feel like they've got a little bit more of an understanding of what they're doing.
No, nobody's saying anybody's back. Look, when the season started, we thought they were going to win 10 games and we're damn sure going to win the division. Nobody's, at least on this show, is at that point right now. But the reality of it is there was some good that was accomplished over the last 2 weeks. And it looks like they've got an identity offensively that they actually want to build with and build towards. It looks like the quarterback is committed to it. It looks like the offensive play caller knows how to move Nico Collins around and get him touches in multiple ways. It looks like their young receivers and their others, if you will, it looks like those guys are coming. Is it all going to work out and bear fruit versus a better opponent, which Seattle is a significantly better opponent? The crowd there will be in it. It's prime time. You will get challenged in a major way up there in Seattle. I don't know if it all you know shows up in that particular moment, but what I'm saying right now after back-to-back weeks is that I don't need to minimize the first three quarters with the Titans game. I think the quarterback, C.J. Stroud, left a touchdown on the field, and he left an explosive on the field. Your kicker missed a field goal. I think you left several points on the field. I look at the offense and go, there were some good things there, and it just took you the fourth quarter to explode. I look at this game, there were some really good things. I'm just telling you, if we could have very easily watched that this Baltimore game and thought, well, hell, you're just throwing bombs now.
Yeah, you just let Nico and them run past some of these guys we've never heard of.
You're just glad you don't have Will and Daniil coming off the edges in training camp at your ass, and now you're just doing stuff that you know your offensive line's not going to hold up when they got better pass rushers over there. Like, you're just doing silly stuff. Yeah. But what we watched was a very coordinated effort to create an identity on the offensive side of the football. And then Ron, the other part of it is we watched a very coordinated effort on the defensive side of the football to stop the downhill run between the tackles, right? The Baltimore Ravens, one of the more physical offensive lines, really organizations, but one of the more physical offensive lines in the game with a two-headed monster, and you even throw the Mitchell kid in there as a third running back option that could hit you in multiple ways. And hell, one of them's Derrick Henry, a running back that I think we've seen go for over 200 yards against the Texans in his damn career five times.
Say repeatedly.
Right? I mean, so I think – like, this defense stopped that stuff, that run, to the tune of they had 28 rush yards through three quarters. Would you say they ended up with 44? Like, what they were able to accomplish in a sense of what the shortcomings were on both sides of the football coming into the game, they were able to make huge strides. How does it play moving forward? I have no idea. But they were able to make huge strides, and they got the most that they possibly could out of a matchup against Tennessee and a banged-up Baltimore team.
C.J. Stroud, what was his grade yesterday? We'll talk to our quarterback, get your thoughts coming up next as we continue right here live on The Drive.